But that's when we left this beautiful country, went on down the coast to Fort Bragg. The Lord was directing our path, and we've labored there for many years, and recently resigned our church there. Just felt the call of the Lord on my heart to move on to evangelism. Actually, it's been a call of my heart for a long time, and the Lord just began to confirm a few things, and actually, it was fantastic. He brought the next pastor before we ever left the church. It's just pretty awesome how God did that. But when we left, it was BB, before bald. And when I left, Charlene Brundine had brown hair. Good to see you, Charlene. God bless you. Carrie was a little bit smaller in stature, and his hair was not quite so gray. I love you, brother. I've always really, really been so pleased that Carrie has been so faithful, a real man of God. I can remember the Sunday he came to church, the old church at Corbell, and he walked up the steps, and I met him on the porch and extended my hand, and he said, "Would it be okay if we worship with you this morning?" And I was so excited, and he gave his heart to Christ that day. Great deal. Great deal of water under the bridge, but praise God. We're so happy to be here. I'd like for my wife to stand and say hi. I don't know how many of you know her, remember her. God bless you. She's been putting up with me for 42 years. That's a long time. And praise God. Well, I'm so happy to be here. I want to share my heart with you this morning, and I've entitled my message, Chasing God. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. And this is how it reads, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold to that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold on me." Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your great love and Your tender compassion. We thank You for this opportunity to be here today, Father, to share Your Word. We invite Your precious Holy Spirit now to come and enter into this place in a special way. Lord, that as we still our minds and open our hearts to receive from You, that Your name would be glorified and You alone would be magnified. We give You the honor, the glory, the power, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name now, let Your anointing rest upon us. Amen. There was a well-known pastor, teacher, evangelist, whose name was Tommy Tenney. I don't know if you read his book. He wrote back in 1998, entitled The God Chasers. In his writing, he expressed his hunger for a greater experience with God. Raised in a Christian home, a third-generation minister, he says as he had traveled the world and held many revivals in great Pentecostal churches around the world, that he had just grown tired of church. You ever feel that way? You're just tired of church? Well, certainly it's happened. People are staying home. Churches are empty. They're tired of church. What Tommy was saying was this. He was tired of just having church, because what overshadowed his fullness of just having church was his great desire for God. In other words, he had this obsession for God, a passion for God. He longed for more. He wanted a richer, fuller, brighter experience with God. He wanted the empowerment of God. He just didn't want just another church service. I've spoken with many people about going to church. One such young father in our town said, "Well, I don't want to go to church anymore. My father was a Baptist preacher. I went to church for years." His business partner, "I was raised in a Baptist church. went to church for years. I don't want anything to do with it. He said, the greatest relief in my life was the day I decided I would not be a believer any longer. Because they had a church experience, a religious experience, rather than a personal experience with Jesus Christ. What Tommy was saying was he didn't want to play church. He longed for a deeper, richer experience in his relationship with Jesus Christ. He wanted to be in the presence of the Almighty, that Holy Spirit upon him at all times, that wherever he went, whenever he made contact with people, when they came into his environment, they too would experience and sense the presence of God in their life, that they too would begin to understand that there's something greater than just having church. There's something greater than just saying, I'm a Christian. There's something greater than saying, I was born again. My dad was this and my mom was that. He wanted people to realize the importance of knowing him, of pursuing him, of chasing after him to the point that that's our number one goal. What is our goal in life anyway? What's our purpose? We establish careers. After pursuing an education, we work hard, we save our money, we're all looking forward to retirement. And when we get there, we're looking for something else. Because most people that tell me in a retirement, they begin to really ache and have pains. They wish it weren't the way it was. Today, many people, including some Christians, think in some strange way that God is chasing after them. Truth is this, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent Jesus Christ to purchase our salvation. And after he had delivered himself at Calvary's cross, he sent back that which he promised, that precious Holy Spirit, to dwell within each believer, to empower us for the purpose that he sent us here for. It was not about a career. It was not about making a mark or leaving a name. It was about representing the Father. It was about enlarging his kingdom. He sent us here and empowered us with his Spirit to accomplish the task. People think they're running and hiding from God today. They're ignoring God, but there's no place we can go. There's no place to hide that the Holy Spirit cannot continue to draw and pull and tug at our hearts and lives. I want to encourage you this morning, if you have loved ones who've walked away from God, who've said no to God, who stayed out of church and distanced themselves from God, I don't want you to give up on them. I want you to keep praying. I would encourage you to keep fasting. I would encourage you to lay down something special that you really don't need, but you just enjoy. Lay it down and say, Father, I surrender this in pursuit of seeing that one come to know you. Years and years ago, my aunt and uncle began to have great marital problems. She would move out to... And then she would come back home. She would move out and then return home. On one of her return homes, she came home carrying another man's child. And most men would say, that's it, it's over. But my uncle, who had been praying, calling upon God, said, it's okay, I love you anyway. He took that child and raised it as his own. And he began to just pray and pray and pray. He began to lay down things that he didn't necessarily need, just as a sacrifice to God. So one day she came and she knelt and gave her heart to Christ. We had prayed for years and years and years for her. She was hard, she was distanced, she was rebellious, but we kept on praying. We went down for a family reunion, and my wife was sitting in the back seat of the car as all the ladies were headed into Costco to get all the food for the family reunion. And sitting over in the back seat in the corner, in a low voice, Aunt Pat was singing, Bless the Lord who reigns with beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns my life with so much love. I love this part. He can make a perfect heart. She that was so far from God, she who had been chasing everything but God, had now been captured by that which she needed the most, which she longed for the greatest. And in her heart, the joy was coming out. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. That's what he's about. He will reign in beauty. He will take ashes and he will restore and make it something beautiful. He will take that which is broken and make it whole once again. He will take that which is shattered and he can put families back together again. And when you've lost your hope and you've lost your way, you need to know he's still there wanting to put that song back in your heart. Bless the Lord who reigns with beauty. Because that's what he wants in your life. Beauty. Sad as it is today, many people make the choice to just ignore that nudge of the Holy Spirit. And if we ignore that nudge long enough, he will leave us to our fears and our sadness and our brokenness. Sadder yet is the fact that Christianity today has just wrapped itself around a religious mindset. All roads lead to the same God. It's not true. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one hope. And it's Jesus Christ. All religious roads do not lead to Jesus or to eternal life. What we must understand is the true reality is we must be chasing after Him, because if we're not chasing after God, we are chasing after something else. It's true. Every day, we have to make the choice to chase after God. You say, now Larry, is he hiding from me? Is he playing hide and seek with me? What do you mean I have to chase after him? I'm saying we have to make the choice to pursue him. If I don't take time to pursue him in my word and in my prayer life, other things begin to capture my attention. And I will find myself pursuing those things rather than pursuing after him. He is so beautiful. He is so awesome. He is so wonderful. He is so fulfilling. He makes my life so complete. Why would I want to pursue anything but Him? Don't get me wrong, I have a beautiful wife. I used to chase her around this church a little bit. When I met this beautiful young thing, I was going to the Dallas Prairie Assembly of God Church. And this friend of mine from Trinidad, we went to school together. Matter of fact, the kids at school used to think I was in love with Connie Poole because we hung out together. I didn't love Connie at all, except in a brother-sister relationship in the Lord. Her mom and dad were pastors at Trinidad, and I went to Dallas Prairie, and she said, I've got this wonderful friend. You have to meet her. I'm telling you, when she drove up in that canary yellow car, oh my goodness. Went up to the Trinidad Pier, and we were looking at the water. Slipped my hand over hers as she hung onto the rail. Been full speed ahead ever since. Telling you, it's great to be in love. I was pursuing her. Once I caught her, it was wonderful. But I'm still pursuing her 42 years later. It's gotten richer and better. I correlate that with my walk with Jesus Christ. As a child raised in church, I came to realize that I had to pursue him myself. I had a wonderful pastor who brought wonderful messages, who challenged us in more than one way, but it wasn't until the day I, for myself, realized that I needed to pursue him. That I had to lay down myself and pick up the cross. That I had to get that word in me and had to know it for myself. That I had to make the surrender of self. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Here we find our workout assignment, if you will. Every good athletic trainer assigns a workout program for the one who's trying to hone himself to perfection. It's no different spiritually speaking. The Apostle Paul writes here to the Philippian church these words of instruction and encouragement. He first exhorts them to be obedient to the will of the Lord. Why is obedience so important? Obedience always enables our salvation experience. Did you hear what I said? Our obedience enables our salvation. Jesus Christ shed His blood at Calvary's cross. He gave Himself for us. But we must be obedient to His Word to truly experience that salvation. I'll put it this way. As a child, my brothers and I were given work assignments by Dad in the summer months. While he was at work, we were to chop and stack the firewood, put it in the woodshed. We were to work in the garden, mow the lawn, and of course be obedient to whatever Mom said we were supposed to do. We were just supposed to mind her. If we did all those things, that was our salvation when he got home. But if we didn't, we paid for it at the seat of our pants. Now, I know you can't do that any longer. You know, if you spank your child today, you can wind up in jail. The pastor would be coming to visit you to try to bail you out. But my dad used a good old-fashioned paddle. Mom loved to use a switch. And now that they've accomplished all of those whippings, all five of us children are living for God. It seemed to work a little bit. It was okay. I think it stunted my growth a little bit, knocked some hair off of my head along the way. But listen, it worked. Work out your own salvation. What are you talking about here? To accomplish our salvation, we must be obedient. We must walk in obedience to Him. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to understand the importance of surrender and obedience. The importance of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We need to understand that surrender and obedience always brings the anointing. Do you love to be in His presence? Do you love to sense His presence, that Holy Spirit touching you and inspiring you, encouraging you in the middle of the night when you're all alone? Listen, if you've been walking in obedience, if you've been walking a surrendered life, you can expect that He will keep company with you. He's looking for those. He's looking for opportunity. He's wanting to hear from those who have an open heart and a willingness to spend time with Him. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must understand that this is extremely important. And even though you will never, ever be perfect in the eyes of anyone else, He's just looking for a perfect relationship with you one-on-one. He looked at your heart, and He knows the very intent of your heart. And so He's just looking for that opportunity that you would allow Him to be the hero of your heart. And you might not ever find perfection in the eyes of the one you're married to. You might not ever live up to the standard of your father or your grandfather. It doesn't matter. What matters are you right in the sight of God? Are you perfectly where He wants you? Are you perfectly doing what He would have you do? Have you been pursuing Him? Not just coming to church. Not just being a church member, not just paying tithes. Are you pursuing Him? Is He the number one thing that you desire the most? He says, work it out with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we need to fear the point that, you know, He's looking over our shoulder ready to swat us with a big fly swatter when we mess up. Oh, no. Paul says, secondly here, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we all are much aware that we are weak. We are sinful. We stumble. We fall down. And sometimes we even purposely make bad choices. That's why we should fear and tremble. The fact is, we are unrighteous. We are unable to deliver ourselves. And so the fear and trembling is the fact that we know us. And I'm afraid I'll mess it up, Lord. I'm afraid I'll fall down. I'll be offensive. I'll sin and offend you. I'll put a black mark on the name Christian. So, Lord, in my fear and trembling, I surrender all. I give myself to you. Again and again and again. The Apostle Paul said, every day I have to die to myself. Every day I die daily. Every day. That doesn't mean he can go out and say, I'm sinning right now because tonight I'm going to apologize before I go to bed. That wasn't what he was saying. He was just saying, when I'm weak, you are strong. I'll be preaching on that tonight. I encourage you to be here. When I am weak, you are strong. Let us continually confess, I am weak. While at the same time we confess, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. Yes, I'm weak. I make mistakes. But I am strong in the Lord, walking in the power of His might. And the closer I get to Him, the Scripture says, the closer He comes to me, and the more we are together, the stronger I am. That's what it's about. Being humble to the point of realization that without Him I can do nothing. I must pursue Him. I must chase after Him again and again. I must never stop hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because when I get that in me, I become a mighty warrior, a man of valor, a mighty man of God to lift up the name of Jesus. You want to be strong when you go to school? I didn't say, do you want to be offensive? I said, do you want to be strong in the Lord? You want to be strong in the workplace so that you don't laugh at those naughty jokes, that filthy intellect of the world? You want to be strong enough to change the channel? You want to be strong enough to get up and walk out of that place when they're doing sinful things? You want to be strong enough to say, no, thank you. I don't talk that way anymore, devil. You want to be strong enough to say, no, thank you. I'm not going to indulge in that alcoholic beverage. It's just a little bit. You want to be strong enough to say no to drugs, to premarital relationships, or relationships outside of marriage. You want to be strong in the Lord? Who doesn't? What Christian doesn't? It only happens by drawing close to Him, by chasing after Him, constantly pursuing Him. I didn't say you had to be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good, or heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm just saying there's balance. And when you get on His scale, He will balance you. When you allow Him to rule and reign in your life, when you pursue Him, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, He will bring that balance into your life. He will cause you to be strong in the Lord, to walk in His might, to be victorious, to be more than a conqueror. Some of you are here today and you've been struggling with something in your life for a long time. You've tried to defeat it again and again and again. It's like an addiction, a silent addiction, and you can't seem to win over it. It may be anger. It may be fear. It may be pornography. All of these ugly things that just steal our joy and cause us to stumble and fall down. Ask anyone who's ever tried to live a strict diet and be victorious. It's a struggle. It's the same thing in our spiritual walk with Christ. As we struggle to be what we should be, He is our only help. His Holy Spirit in us is the answer. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, once again, Philippians chapter 3. Let me just read verses 7 through 14. Philippians chapter 3. 7 through 14. Thank you, Pastor Carey. Beginning at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law. In other words, He lived up to the Mosaic law, But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, we are made righteous by placing our faith in God. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, being willing to physically die to this world, being like Him as He died physically, separating ourselves from the world. Verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the right to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about here? The Apostle Paul is talking about the same thing that Tommy Tenney was writing about in his book. You see, Tommy Tenney was not the first pastor, teacher, or evangelist to grow weary of the norm in his Christian walk. He was not the first God chaser. In his book, he revealed how he can relate to those forerunners of faith. And you find them in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, they accomplished much for the glory of God. Today, we can easily trace great ministries. The great A.W. Tozer. And I love also to read about the Azusa Street Revival back at the turn of the century, the 1900s. It rocked Los Angeles. Countless and countless of people were saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today we have great ministries that we hear of, and some are positive in the eyes of those who hear about them, and other people say, well, I just don't like that guy. Sometimes it's not the deliverer of the message we need to be listening to, but rather the message itself. They are great men of God. They are used of God, and God has positioned them. Whether I like them or I don't like them. There was a minister I was listening to, and he said, I received a call from Paul and Jan Crouch to come and be on their television program, TBN. And he said, I said to myself, what, are you kidding me? Have you not seen that woman's makeup and the way she does her hair and how they present themselves, Lord? And he said, the Lord said to me, oh, you don't like how I've made them? Think about it. We might not like what we see. One young man said to me, what do you mean you went to the Crystal Cathedral for Easter? Have you ever been to the Crystal Cathedral at Easter? You need to make it a goal if you've never been there. It'll be the most wonderful treat and explanation of Easter that you will ever enjoy. They have flying angels on their cables that swing across that whole temple. It speaks of the glory of God. The guy said, how could you go there? Man, they paid so much money for all those mirrors and windows. I said, well, it wasn't my money. I don't care what they paid for it. Do you? I mean, hey, what were they teaching? What were they sharing? That's what we need to know. You may not like the bald-headed preacher. You may say, my pastor's always had long hair. And we have long-haired pastors where people say, my pastor's always been a bald-headed man. I'm not going to that church where he has long hair. That's not what it's about. It's about pursuing God. And where can we find the honey that will sweeten the heart? That's what it's about. Pursuing Him. Did you know that Job was a God chaser? He really was. You know the story of Job. His life became a living hell. Oh, how terrible. God, how could you let that happen? But in his pursuit of God, he said, even though he slay me, yet will I love him. Will I serve him? Will I surrender myself to him? He also said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He was always pursuing God. What about the psalmist David? He who wrote thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Throughout the book of Psalms, you find his continual pursuit for God. Always pursuing God. He wrote, my soul followeth hard after thee. And here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul is revealed certainly without a doubt as a God chaser. His life is full of Jewish flavor. Yeah, raised of the stock of Israel, he describes himself as the Hebrew of Hebrews. Oh yes, he was that fantastic young up-and-coming lad who pursued the Christians with letters of authority in his hand. He said in keeping the Jewish law, he was perfect. He was a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is today? You don't want to be one. Think about it. In the eyes of his family and friends and his Jewish peers, he was perfect. And here in this portion of Scripture, he describes himself, fully describes himself as a very accomplished Jewish individual, while at the same time of qualifying himself as such, he confesses even a greater confession that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. He reveals what matters most for the glory that he experienced of being the fine, wonderful Jewish lad that he was. Did not matter. All of his personal gain, all of his popularity and power, all of his accolades from his peers, he said it's all rubbish. All of his religious activity and all of that accolades had basically pulled him down spiritually. It had blinded his eyes. It had caused him to miss out on really chasing after God and pursuing him in the correct manner. You see, we can play church all we want. I can say my mom was a Sunday school teacher. She was the church treasurer. I can say I was raised in church. I was baptized. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been in church since I was in diapers. I'll always be in church. I always want to go to church. Church is my life. My older, uglier brother, he used to call me little preacher boy because every Sunday I had to wear my bow tie. He made fun of me. He ridiculed me. But when his life was in the toilet, he knew. He realized the difference. He realized the importance of surrender and obedience, no matter what people call you. My little grandson, he's 10. He's the oldest of the two boys. He came home from school and he said, you know so-and-so that was going to church with me. I said, yes. He was making fun of me at school. He was telling the other kids I was the little church boy. I said, son, you hold your head up high. They always call me the church boy. Last year, I went to my 40th year class reunion. And all of my peers still remembered Larry the church boy. One of the little ladies who's now not so little, she came up to me and she said, oh, Larry, I remember you. You are always such a good boy. You know what I want to hear my father say that. Well done. Good boy. It doesn't matter what they think of me as far as, comparing myself with them, my success with them. They've never been my source. He's been my source. They've never been my anchor. He's my anchor. They've never been the keeper of my soul or provided for me in any way, but he has. They'll never get me to my eternal reward, but he has promised that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. No, he said, I'll never, never, ever see my children begging for bread. He is able, and I will pursue him because I want more and more and more and more and more and more. I can't get enough of him. Why? Because he's my everything. He's my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, not other will do. It's an old gospel song. Used to play it when I was a kid in church on my trumpet. Da, 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 da. I could play it for hours. My dad would say, could you take it in the garage? Da-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to have to get that old horn out. Listen, what rings in my heart then rings greater now. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if we pursue him, he takes pleasure in entertaining us. Did you know that? He takes pleasure in entertaining us. About 10 o'clock every night, I go out to feed my old dog. I go out in the garage and I raise the door and I call her in. She comes in with her big tail wagging. If she hits you with it, almost hurts your leg. She's just kind of a monster. She runs over there and she jumps and she's just all full of joy because she knows what's going to get put in the bowl. She begins to eat. I have an old desk chair out there. I roll it back and sit down in it, and put my feet upon the bumper of my truck. And Jesus and I get down to plowing corn. Somebody says, "Don't you kneel? My knees hurt." You mean you don't have to? Well, I've laid on my face many times and God has spoken to me. But when you come into His presence, He wants you just to be comfortable in His presence. It's like when I come to visit my old friend Carrie. It's just where we picked up from the last time we talked. He wants us to intimately pursue Him. It may be my dog listening to me pray. It may be not too long down the road that I'm lost in the Spirit. And she'll come over and she'll bump me with her nose to let me know she's finished eating and wants back outside. So I get up, open the door, let her out, and I just sing it in the Spirit, lost in His presence. Why? I'm pursuing Him. As He sent His Son Jesus Christ to pursue us. As He gave all for us, should we not give all for Him? Certainly. Certainly. In our pursuit for Him, He's overjoyed. He's overjoyed. This is what Tommy was talking about in his book. He came to realize that in serving Jesus Christ, it was more than just going to church on the weekend. It was more than just preaching another revival. It was more than being a member or paying tithes, more than a religious experience, more than just settling for the good feeling, more than soothing our conscience and patting ourselves on the back, more than just being about passé, about our experience with Him. I'm sure you've heard the advertisement. Uncle Sam is looking for just a few good men. Jesus Christ is just looking for a few good ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, young men, adolescents, if you will, who will just say, "I surrender to You, Lord. I'll chase You for all of my life because I can't do it without You. I must have You and more of You." Paul is chasing after the Lord to experience the greatness of His power, not to just be in His presence, but to be empowered by Him as he labors to enlarge the kingdom of God. He wanted to do so under the anointing in the presence of the Almighty. Having died to his flesh, having counted his personal property as loss, he has gained everything. To be right in the sight of the Almighty God. Notice he wrote, "Forgetting the past, I reach, I press, I strive for the mark, for the goal. I strive for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord." That's what I'm striving after. That's what I'm working for. Please allow me today to ask you this question. Whom are you chasing? What are you chasing after? What are you focused on? I'm not saying don't have dreams and visions. I'm 60 years old this month and I'm still dreaming about a new business. I'm not about to quit. Someone said, "Do you realize you're 60? I said, "You think you need to tell me?" But listen, listen. More than dreams and aspirations in this life, what are you pursuing? This is what he said. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add everything else." See, when I left here to go to Fort Bragg and buy that funeral home, that business that I so desperately wanted, I mean, I've got my license, I've got my life together. I had a great manager's position at Chapel of the Ferns in Eureka. I used to work at Paul's Chapel in Arcata. It was pretty nice waiting on people that you had grown up with, taking care of their grandmas and grandpas and being there. And then one day, we left this church building and we're driving home toward Arcata. And I spoke to my wife and said, "Do you feel it?" She said, "I wonder where he's taking us." We just knew. He took us to Fort Bragg 26 years ago. And about a year ago, he began to lift that assignment as pastor of a church there. You grow weary wearing two hats, town funeral director, town preacher. Think about it. For all of those who didn't go to church, I became their pastor. I'd bury their grandparents and their moms and dads and marry their kids. I'd rather bury them than marry them. They stay buried. It's just true. But in all of that, in all of those years, I never quit pursuing him. Because I know. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I will surely fail. What are you chasing after? Would you bow your heads for just a moment?